Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh God. Oh God, my memory. Hang on. I'm going to attempt to remember something.
Mm-hmm. I'm going everybody to shut up. Everybody shut
go
up.
Go into my memory and remember something.
I know it's in the big glass orbs, but I do not remember who put them in the glass orbs.
Their name is Castiel.
Floating in the air.
It was Castiel.
Starting with an S.
Castiel. Oh. Castiel. Castiel.
Crossover, huh?
Castiel.
Is it is it angelic? Is it an angelic name?
Cerise.
Castiel.
It was not an angelic name at all. Cerise gave to you.
We are in a position where we're now free to kind of wander around and talk to people and get that information. And I love to solve a mystery, but to be controversial yet brave for a moment and talk about my vulnerabilities.
So brave.
I'm not very good at sandboxes. I don't do them very often in RPG stuff. So when there is just a really broad range of people, I have an eyeline list of the number of named characters in Sorizan that we have.
Uh-huh.
It's like a good 15 people. I don't know who to speak to them.
You know that there is some sort of clock ticking over this community. There are at least a couple clocks ticking over this community because the butcher is out there, and whatever intent that luminary has for this place cannot be good. You now understand that when you found Shank Hill as a community, basically completely empty and abandoned, the diary implied, and Dref implied based on his analysis of the diary, that the butcher had something to do with that. So you kind of know what the stakes are, and you have a bunch of different leads and directions you could move off to. Like I said, there are a lot of rocks to overturn and uncover to figure out what you want to do next. I guess the last thing to say is there is a compulsion to be careful about how you do it, because you are lining up your future plans involving infiltrating this red feather ball, which will be infinitely easier if they are not aware that the Uhuru still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's being bold, but not so bold that we get got. is the balance that we reside on. Okay, that was super useful. Thank you for the summary. I will do
and
my
one
best.
last resource, I guess, that maybe you don't have a front of mind, but we probably do want to pay off on it at some point. Mm-hmm. Y'all have 100 favors from the Tempest Armada. Now, you could definitely call one of those in. You know, obviously the heart of the Bandit Queen is going to be some kind of magical beacon or whatnot. I will say, OPSEC-wise, you want to be careful about how you go about it, because loose lips sink ships, and whatever pirates come to your aid, you will depend on them not going around and talking about the Uhuru.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tempest Armada might think we're dead. They haven't heard from us for years.
I think everybody on Sphere, except for, we now know, Zana Kessler, thinks that the Uhuru has gone down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a posit for...
A posit? Do you have your posit slip?
Yeah. I need to wire my queries.
We actually need a traveler's check. I know nobody else does it, but...
Get my Amex. I will say, in the immediate, we have a few things to do. Deliver Angela back home and deal gather some information while going into town. If you would like to come with me, I will go drop Angelo off, however, and just kind of massage this whole experience for him. And then I'm going to the information desk to honestly, or the reference desk, to honestly, my main concern right now is I need information on how to get Wendell off this port to get him as far away as possible. If you would like to come with me for your own queries, that is more than welcome. But I have a feeling that that problem is going to only get bigger, and especially in a place where violence is violence is kind of spread throughout this, like a creamer in a coffee.
The haze of violence bestows this town.
I feel like that's the immediate thing that I'm going to concern myself with.
A thing I think I remember us talking about was the idea of us, because Angelo is alive, currently off work, we can body double swap him for somebody else. In instances where they're in full body padding, so under certain circumstances, you can have a different worker take their place and not have everybody notice.
Angelo is a guard.
He's not a worker. Might need to specifically pay off.
Fully masked up. Everybody is fully masked up, but
I mean, that'll get you halfway there.
That's an important detail, though. Thanks for clarifying that. But yeah, I think it might be worth specifically at some point, since we have the cash, buying off one of the workers so we can replace them with a mole.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Can you remind me of... No, I do have Jonnet's stage name. Tiago Lancaster. Tiago Lancaster Loblast. You have a worker's outfit in your size coming from Barnabas.
That's so right.
If you want to be in person for the espionage, you can do so.
I was about to say, sounds like we get, if we can't find our second worker's outfit, then we get halfway there with Angelo's stuff, and then I'll go and, you know, give it the old college try.
I think we talked. I also really want Carlos to go inside the factory.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Such a good fit. So you can team up.
Cool. Dope.
Okay. I'm excited now. Let's do the thing.
If you want to send your butler out to do a bunch of pickups and errands, that is absolutely something I can do.
Oh, Aurima will accompany you for bits and pieces, for sure. But yeah, later I will switch to Carlos for some espionage, because that also sounds like a lot of fun.
All right.
So do we, if we're not bringing Angelo back, we need to figure out who we're sending.
There'll be a separate fact finding to see if we can find somebody to replace. Angelo can go back home since he's not a factory worker.
Okay.
So yeah, we don't need to worry about
that. In the immediate.
Yeah.
All right. Then I think in the morning, there is a person who meets, I guess, who's the first to go back into town? Because right now the Uhuru is docked somewhere that is at least a little bit of a hike away from this settlement. And importantly, nobody who lives around there knows where the Uhuru is at this point. You've been walking in and out around this area, despite invitations to port directly there. I believe the intent was to disguise the ship before you attempted to do anything like that. But also keeping that distance has its own uses, even if it means it's harder to scramble to the ship.
Yeah. Barnabas sent us some cheap paint as part of the dealings I made with him.
Barnabas does have like pallets of paint and whatnot to deliver. So the question is, who is going into town first?
Oh, well, I think it is time for Julian Loblast to be once again man about town with their assistant. Don't worry, we'll make sure you're well fed this time.
I think the sun is bright over Sorrow's End. It is a crisp morning where it looks warmer than it is. Thankfully, Sorrow's End is shielded from much of the chill of wind, but it is still the sort of morning where you can see your breath in the air and dew on the grass and leaves around you. You can see that the town is at its appropriate level of bustle. This town never stops, whether it is the deep of night or the early time of morning. There are always people moving about Sorrow's End, never quite reaching the population it might in a town that isn't so tightly designed. But as you enter the streets of Sorrow's End, there are people about, bundled and masked as they always are. Orimar, you can see by the tailor or uniformer's shop, whichever you would like to think of it, there is a small pallet of materials sitting out front, currently being packed by someone who is not Barnabas, but clearly is an employee of that shop.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Sir, you must be Laboulest.
The very one.
Barnabas said that these ought to be prepared for you straight away. There is more to your order, but as you can see, we've bundled up some of the clothing that you've ordered. There are also dyes, pigments and paints that have been prepared, though those have been prepared to the port, as is policy for the area. So you'll need to be sending a ship or some other to the port and picking up there.
Marvelous. There was like a quick blink of like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. All right, how do we go collect that? And then lets the moment pass. Very good, very good. I do have a very busy schedule today, so we may not be picking it up immediately, but I'm sure that whoever will be holding on to it for us will be patient while I finish my rounds. Thank you so much.
Should there be any souls on your ship burly enough, this pallet, I believe, could be moved easily enough across the ground, either by hand or with some beast of burden. Wheelbarrow, perhaps. I don't know how far away you've docked yourself. They told me that you're not in the port yet.
Yes, there's a few other things that we need to sort before we're presentable. You know what it is. Sometimes you need to make sure that your hair is straightened and your clothes are lint-free before you show yourselves to others.
I should someday wish I have the privilege of worrying about that sort of thing, but we do have everything, at least here for the early deliveries, buttoned up for you. And Barnabas says that to tell you that we do appreciate the business and you've been nice to work with.
I try to be. I know that there are very many. There are people from my station in the world who do not necessarily give the people who work so hard their due respect.
Well, and awareness of that is rare enough, I can tell you.
Mm. I hope that once that we're done here, that you'll be able to continue working with people that actually respect you.
We should see what the winds blow through town, at least for the next few months. We don't expect to be working with much else. I'm sure you've been told you are rolling through at a very unusual time for us to receive visitors. Not that we don't appreciate it, just...
It's no need to look so nervous, my friend.
Well, not many people who have ships take them out adventuring, you know, so... At least not at this part of Sphere. There are more exciting places around the globe to trot, so...
What could I say? Being a gadabout has its highs and lows. Anyway, I must be on. Thank you so much for preparing the order. Me and my assistant have many people to see today. I do believe we have a variety of audiences to hold, but I won't bother you. I won't bore you with what's going on. I'll let you get on with your work.
I shan't hold you up. If you send anyone over later, we'd be happy to let go of this pallet. Otherwise, it'll be here unless the weather turns.
I'll send a message. We give each other a toothy but mirthless smile to each other. You know, polite society.
Gable follows out, but then whispers back, "The earth is flat." You said around the globe, but we both know that the earth is flat.
Oh, well, you know, I suppose
this
I was
is
never...
wild because Gable is like presumably a cosmic body at some point, so would understand the shape of the world, would have been able to see it,
or maybe
wait,
has.
Have this not come up before? Wait, Captain, we agreed that the world is flat, right?
Now I'm not sure.
Captain, I need you to tell me, dear assistant.
Are you doing a bit? Or are you questioning my memory?
So serious. I am so serious. Okay. Let's have this conversation elsewhere.
Yes, please. Let's.
Gable is shook. Gable is fully convinced that the Earth was flat.
How?
I can't wait to see where that opinion came from.
My dear, do you remember when we were trying to go as high as we could go?
Yes.
And did you at any point look down when we were going as high
yes.
as we could? Right. And did you happen to see anything about the space below us when we were up very high?
Yes, the Queen's magic made it seem as if there was a curvature. But there is not, and I know this.
Julian LaBelest opens his mouth to say something, closes his mouth, opens his mouth again with brows furrowed, closes his mouth. Let's speak to the information desk, the post desk, shall we?
I'm gonna jump in here as the GM and assure everyone that the world is a sphere in sphere. However, I and Gable is like a type of being who would, at least at one point, and we know their memory is bad, have known this mm-hmm. as just like a simple cosmological fact, which just makes me think that Gable spent some time with what must have been a very convincing YouTube video equivalent. I want to unpack that at a different time, but I kind of love it.
Is shaken, fully shaken, because they thought that we were all the same thing.
I think so. Jonnet is also here. Jonnet has been trailing behind the captain and Gable because he, at this point, he's like, I'm afraid to know what Gable truly thinks. And so he's just kind of got an air about him. He's like, I'm choosing not to touch that.
It's not even conspiracy stuff. It's like, this is a core belief that I thought was true about the universe.
Hey, you know, what are we doing in our lives if not learning every day?
Well, yes, we're all learning that it's flat, right? That's what we're learning, right?
Yes, let's have a discussion about this another time. Yes.
Okay.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, I've got some exciting stuff coming up. April 26th and 28th, I will be at C2E2 here in Chicago, and I'm going to be joined by Jeff and John from System Mastery as we continue touring our panels based on our books. On the 26th at 4 p.m., we are going to be doing a Netflix and Kill RPG game show where we pair members of the audience up with different monsters that they can decide to wed, bed, or behead. And on April 28th, we'll be doing the Ultimate RPG World Building panel, where we're going to take the Ultimate RPG World Building Guide and build something what I can only imagine is going to be truly insane live before the audience. And for both of those panels, there's going to be some audience participation. And definitely for the Netflix and Kill RPG game show, there are going to be prizes for the audience, so you'll definitely want to be at those events. Once again, that is Netflix and Kill, 4 p.m. on April 26th, and the Ultimate RPG World Building panel at 12:45 p.m. April 28th. I have even more exciting news. I've got an RPG coming out from Adams Media, an imprint of Simon & Schuster. That's right, I managed to trick a major publisher into making a role-playing game. My new game is called O Captain, My Captain. It is a descended from the Queen game about a pirate captain, and something tells me that the audience for Skyjacks might like that. In fact, if you purchase this game, I believe you'll find a familiar face inside. Oh Captain, My Captain goes on sale everywhere September 22nd, but right now I am trying to drum up pre-orders. I really want my publisher to publish more role-playing games and work with more game designers, which means I need to convince them that Oh Captain, My Captain was an unmitigated success. And a lot of pre-orders go a long way towards helping me do that. You can head to bit.ly/ocaptainrpg or bit.ly/mycaptainrpg and sign up for a pre-order, or call your favorite friendly local game store and have them special order it for you. And if you're curious about the game, you can always head over to the One Shot feed, where we've played it a couple times now. As always, a huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. And folks, if you're a fan of the No King system on this show, you will definitely be a fan of Starwall over on the One Shot Patreon, which uses the same system that we're using here in Skyjacks to tell a wild space fantasy story with an unbelievably huge cast of really weird characters. And if you've been curious about it and don't know where to hop on, you can check out the most recent episode, episode 27, for free. Anybody who signs up for our Patreon as a free member gets access to that episode right away. We also have the entire first season available to free members, so if you like that, you can head back and start from the beginning. And of course, if you fall in love with it, all you need to do is sign up as a $5 or more patron, and you get access to that along with all of our audio bonus goodies. So head to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to support today. Now then, a quick word from our sponsor. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky!
We have the location for the rep of the reference desk. I keep forgetting to actually write down their name. I'm so silly.
I don't know if we named them yet.
Oh, perfect. Good. That's why I have the little blank space in my notes for it. I love that then. We've both met this person more than once and we have not learned their name, and that's actually magical for how Julian Lobelest is as a person. So yeah, we wander off to the, what does the ref desk kind of space like look like? Is it part of a more official quote unquote government / Red Feather building? Does it have its own?
So what I said is that this person would be essentially residing or working out of the mansion where Truss resides and Red Feather like headquarter operations take place, because they've essentially been invited in as a guest so that, you know, Truss and perhaps other people in the area might make use of the reference desk.
That makes perfect sense to me. Okay. Well, my dear Tiago, my little lad.
Hey, Father Dearest.
This is definitely not going to get old. I don't believe you've been to Ms. Truss's abode.
No, I haven't, Fathers, and I let's see, wait. Has Julian, has Jonnet met Truss?
No.
I don't think, yeah. So I'm so excited to make her acquaintance.
Ah, well, you will be the only one excited in that situation, as I have found her to be thoroughly humorless. Genuinely, though, there may be a chance that she might ask some quite direct questions about you, and you may have to hold your nerve.
What have you been telling folks about me?
Just that you are a free spirit and sometimes capable of having thoughts in a way that do not sit with the Larbalest name, and you need to be reminded of what the common people behave like every so often. So as a reminder of the common people, I have taken the liberty of obtaining you with the attire of the working man as a reminder of what could happen to you.
And this is the worker's uniform?
Mm-hmm.
Dope. Yeah, I feel like Jonnet's got his little satchel. Is the uniform small enough that it can just, like, tuck away in this thing?
If we can hit a brief rewind or flashback, since we passed by the stockists who had the crates of some of the stuff, can we have the outfit available since that was tailored by Barnabas there, and we've got it on in tow with us now, or shall we?
I'll bet it's something that, like, you could look through the palette and everything is individually labeled and easy to pick out.
We did indeed pick that up as we spoke to Barnabas's aide. Do keep that tightly. You do need constant reminder.
Thank you, Father Dearest. I think, let's see, is there anything that I can use here? Da-da-da-da. No, I've got a whole half of a skill tree that I'm like, ooh.
Oh yeah,
can I
you
use
have,
this
you have
now?
Skills now. Heck yeah.
We'll sit on it for a second. We'll sit on a second.
Aside from that, let's see. And he gives a bit of a rundown of the house as he saw it, kind of embellishing, oh, it was fabulous, oh, the colors were, but there's a hardline level of information there, including the number of trophies that she had as awards from the Red Feathers for premium efficiency. It seems to be something that she values very heavily, and that there is a bit of a tension between her and the Honorable Augustino Arivetti. After all, Arivetti is making some bank that she's not seeing, and she was very good about keeping her emotions about that under wraps at the time. But I do believe that she might have her feathers ruffled if you brung up such uncouth behavior in front of her, so please refrain from that business.
Oh, I wouldn't dare twist the knife.
Of course.
It seems that we are once again headed off to this mansion estate. It is a modest mansion as far as mansions go, but it certainly looks more grand and comfortable than anything else around here. You can see servants like moving in and out. This is also a place where there are a lot of Red Feather clerks working. The clerks don't reside here the way that Truss and appointed guests do, but there is clearly a lot of business that is done out of here. Most of the construction in this area is used in some way or other. So as you approach, there are a lot of people about.
My, it's busy today.
Can Jonnet, real quick, do a... I guess just like a perception check, just making a check for like malicious intent, just like maybe putting feelers out for where this cleaver might be.
Interesting. Okay, how are you going to do this? Are you doing this magically, like with the power of your eye? Are you just like, you know, keeping sharp detective eyes open?
I feel like it's like a visions check. I think it's like, opening his eye and seeing if he is being nudged in any particular direction while keeping like the cleaver top of mind.
Now, this is a follow-up question to you, Tyler. Is this a check? Are you going to be rolling on this, or are you using your new visions ability, where you are simply spending a point from magic to receive a vision?
I'm going to spend a point from magic to receive a vision. I'm going to play the game, everyone.
It's big
buckle
space.
Up.
Once you start, you're never going to stop.
Okay, so Jonnet's eye flashes open. And once again, we see the lines of possibility that shape the universe around you. Your perception spills out along those lines as you hold the rhythm that allows you to connect to the world. And you look for that off, discordant beat of the butcher. Now, the way your ability works, when you are above a certain threshold in magic, as you are right now, you receive a vision that gives you information, but it comes with a complication. So the information that you are going to receive is the lines become entangled, almost distorted around the residential apartments that make up like where people who are here as indentured laborers stay and sleep, and also in the like kind of immediate, not forested, but like green natural areas around that are not built up. We know metatextually that the raw materials for this pigment that is refined here are harvested like a little bit of a hike out of town because that's the only way that it can be cultivated. So in that area, you have this entanglement of lines. And your brain kind of bends in the way that it does when you look at Gable for a really long time. The sort of way that like it used to be basically when your eyes washed and moved over Gable, how there was something that wanted to or involuntarily separated itself from the world, just allowing your perception to pass over it. There is a similar protection here as you intentionally try to hunt out the butcher. What it is, as you are looking and you follow like these tangled lines of possibility, you see the shapes of people within the framework of the universe. And the jagged edges that form the tangle are these threads of anger, of murderous intent that the cleaver has teased out of them. But it is not just that. It also touches the edges of another thing, of traumatic violence that lives within the history of people surrounding it. That violence takes many shapes and forms, but one of the forms that is most pronounced is the patchwork procedure. This covenant with the butcher that you learned about that somehow treats the scarlet. It appears that the cleaver is assessing potential vessels, which makes one thing to you very clear as you are analyzing this vision with Jonnet's like careful thought process. Ariel was something that the cleaver could exert some control over. But as a vessel, she is somehow imperfect. And the cleaver is searching for a more perfect vessel. And it is currently doing so and fuzzing its trail through intention or through whatever its natural defense is, doing it around the apartments or the kind of outskirts of town where harvesting operations take place.
Hmm. Where is Angelo's place in relation to that spot? Are we in going to check on Angelo? Are we walking into that or away from that?
Oh, interesting. So, I mean, to drop Angelo off back, quote unquote, home, mm-hmm. Because Angelo is living out of these tenements that have been built up to house laborers like everyone else. So you would kind of be walking him towards that. If you were to try and pull out Angelo's individual thread, I don't think Angelo is somebody with a lot of killing intent, but does bear the scar of traumatic violence that is kind of raw because he was recently attacked.
Mm.
I think the information that you can get out of this, if I am to distill things down to game terms, is you know two potential areas where the cleaver is making its hunt right now. It is passing by and touching people in those areas, assessing a vessel, though you cannot find the epicenter of its movements. That is one of your complications. And following up on Angelo, you surmise that Angelo was not attacked because the cleaver thought he would make a good vessel. Angelo was attacked because the cleaver was looking for something else from him.
All right. So I think Jonnet is going to kind of like walk up to the captain and is like, hello, Father Dearest, ta-da-ha, tra-la-la. And then he's going to like kind of motion to his eyes like, I think this, I know we got a lot of stuff going on right now, but I think the cleaver's on the move, and I think we just need to be, we need to keep an eye out for, I don't know how to say it, but it's looking to jump and find an appropriate host. It might still be with Ariel, but I don't think it's gonna stay with Ariel.
And find something that fits its whims more appropriately.
Yeah, that. Scary stuff. Right.
I see. Well, we shall have to keep our emotions tempered and maybe look at the people we're speaking to closely should they anger.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out. I'll keep three eyes out. Sorry.
Excellent work.
Sorry. Serious word.
John, it looks deeply ashamed.
No, no.
Only one of them is useful in this.
Right, yeah.
The regular eyes. Too much.
Hey, you know, I think, well, depending on whether you're keeping all eyes open, we may genuinely see a flash of metal appear in someone's hand should it come to that.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how it transfers, if it's subtle or if it's like a big show, but I'll look for it.
I would hazard a guess it's somewhat close range, as the instances we've seen it move has been from me to you, and then from you to Ariel, and we were both in the same, we were in the same room when those transfers occurred.
Okay.
It does at least mean if you're having a conversation with someone alone, the odds of there being a transferable is reduced.
True. And I think just maybe as a precaution, if you go into somewhere to talk to somebody, I might just stay outside, posted up, and keeping a watch for just like the larger town moving, and just again keep looking for any kind of signs.
Very good. I have a feeling you may have to keep yourself entertained while I am having a conversation with Miss Truss. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I might skip on
voiced
that.
By a register when somebody kind of walks within earshot. The conversation with Miss Truss is going to be very fruitful, but for now, I do believe our assistant had a matter to be resolved also at the manor.
Gable is just furrowed, like, yeah, uh-huh.
Still on this?
Just like putting their hand down and like the making the X and Y axis, just like it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
No, but there's one more axis.
Yeah, it's a box. So we start here. Like,
Z, no, does Gable believe that the world of Sphere is two-dimensional?
No, they believe it's three-dimensional in a box. And it doesn't curve. That's the important thing.
So you would hit the skybox if you kept going.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Like there's a top and there's a bottom.
Gable thinks there's a top?
Well, I mean, at some point, there is the firmament, right? So we do know that, like, there's some kind of top space, for sure. Mm. Things get really hairy in the cosmology of Sphere when you think hard enough about it.
And the most that I think Gable's extrapolated is like, it could just be a long tunnel. It could just go up forever. It doesn't have sides, but it doesn't curve. That's foolish. That's silly. It's just a box.
The sphere is a series of tubes.
Series of tubes.
Yeah. Sphere is a series
cool.
of
I'm
tubes.
Old. You're going to need to have your head in the game, my dear. Mm. I believe there were important matters before we got distracted.
Totally. Absolutely. I am 100% here and nowhere else.
Very good.
We return once again to a long line of prospective applicants for the Skyship Uhuru we see someone walk off of this line and place a stack of headshots and resumes on the table that land with kind of a soft thud. Upon closer inspection, you can see that these resumes and headshots are actually woven out of a fabric. When you pick it up, it is like incredibly like coarse and itchy to the touch. The man himself, he's got a full beard and mustache that basically cover the form of his entire body. He has a big kind of like bulbous nose and beady eyes. And he's got like kind of a helmet that he wears. He sits down on the stool and goes, "Hello!
How's it going, boss man?
Well, hopefully I'll be calling you boss man."
Yeah. I mean, that is the idea, I suppose. How should we address you on this day?
You can call me Corsair, the Corsair.
Oh.
Recursive.
Fun.
So, Corsair.
I really appreciate the enthusiasm coming at us. Way to plant both feet and state your name loud and proud. What position on this ship are you looking to fill?
Well, almost any position on the ship. I'm hoping for entry-level work. I don't have much experience in the sky shipping fields. I had a successful home business for a while before Etsy changed its policies.
Oh.
And now I'm getting back into the workforce.
What was the policy change? Yeah, what was your home business?
Yeah.
Well, I used to make woven products. There was a material issue with kind of how the shop operated, thanks to the policy change, and so it became unsustainable.
All right. Was it because the material was less than legal?
Yes. By the letter of the law. Yes.
Okay, were you weaving things out of hair? Was it hair? Was the stuff made out of hair?
Well, what woven thing isn't made of hair, one might say.
Okay, but you know there's a difference, right? I was assuming...
If you wore one of the products that I was weaving, you wouldn't feel much of a difference. You would be like, "What a lovely woven piece! I shall wear it! I shall wear it out on a nice date on the town, I shall!"
Whose hair were you stealing and weaving?
Now, I will say there is no theft. No theft. I ingest hair growth formulas separate personal reasons.
Okay.
And I ended up with so much hair that I needed to do something with it. You know, I would clean my drain. I would clean my drain and go, that's an awful shame. Look at all of that going to waste.
Wait, shower collected hair?
I didn't weave the shower collected hair. That's how
the shower collected hair.
I meticulously collect and clean the hair before weaving it, which regardless is even
clean the hair. So you wash the hair that you collect, so it is shower hair.
You harvest hair. You would harvest it. I do.
And how do you clean it?
Hair, and then I clean. Yes, of course I clean it.
You get the hair.
How do you clean it?
A separate vessel. I am not nude during the cleansing. I am fully dressed. I'll have you know.
So
the hair growth formula that I ingest has had, you know, undesired side effects on my vocal cords.
Huh.
But,
you pick and choose your passions in life, and I have grown quite fond of, you know, my hairy form. It makes me feel comfortable and like myself. So even though I can no longer sell my woven products on Etsy because of their oppressive policy changes, I still enjoy the hairy lifestyle. It makes me feel happiest.
Have you used your special ability, let's say, in a problem-solving circumstance? Say you were in a very high tower and needed to escape from it.
Interesting. You know, I suppose I could investigate the idea of using my hair more as a tool. I'm sure it would take more specialized maintenance. I'd probably have to condition differently to use it as some sort of emergency rope. But I'd be open to the idea, especially if that's entry-level work here, that I can still incorporate my special interest of being very hairy. then I would be more than happy to investigate that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like we're funding someone's hobby. I don't really see the use case for...
Well, I mean, you say that. You say that. But that's what an ideal work situation would do, is allow a person enough income that they can enjoy their private interests outside of the workplace.
Feels like you're trying to monetize your hobbies, though, which is just another trick of capitalism, isn't it?
Well, I've certainly done that, and I have to admit that.
If we give you space to work, essentially renting out our space to you, could we get a cut of your sales and act as your broker of tapestries?
So you're pitching me a kind of artist residency where I would live on the ship and grow my hair and weave my tapestries, and then you'd just try to sell them with me, and then we'd split a cut?
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Good 80-20.
That's really fantastic
for
us.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And here's the thing: like that,
we never have to see you. We never have to. You just post up. You pop in during lunch and dinner, and then
I'm very quiet, unobtrusive. My neighbors say they only ever heard a quiet rustling ever coming from my apartment door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I think there is a bit of an adjustment to working on the Uhuru. I'm glad that there isn't going to be something in the range of noise complaints. But for your own vocal safety as well as ours, we do offer a vocal training service. There are many people who are young on our ship who are in the process of transitioning, and so we do have a vocal coach. If you would be interested in gently easing the profile of your timbre.
Yeah, I mean, that would be lovely. Again, you know, my voice has never felt very important to me. I'm more focused on the hairiness, but...
Yeah, it sounds like you chose the voice like 5 minutes.
I don't talk, actually, very frequently. I don't usually speak. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine keeping this up for much longer.
This is an
insane thing to do for a prolonged period of time.
All right. So I guess I'm going to have to start looking into our existing trading routes for something that could accommodate this line of business. I'm sure there is somebody in Dominion who is...
A lot of perverts out there!
Yeah, I was not going to say that because I didn't want to be disrespectful to your hobby, but I'm glad you know what you're about.
Good. Same page.
Yeah, I guess this isn't necessarily offering you as a member of the crew, but we are interested in entering a business contract with you, I suppose. So put her there.
That's, you see like a hand emerge from, it's very hairy, but like kind of beautiful. You know, he's got this red hair that kind of puffs up. It's almost like a well groomed sheep. Like when you run, like because the knuckles in the back of the hand is very hairy. Obviously, they're the palm fluffy. Is like soft and whatnot. But like, mm-hmm. It's surprisingly downy.
All right. Well, wow. Anyway, pleasure doing business with you, mate. Corsair.
Corsair.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system.
It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. Campaign Skyjacks is a One Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at OneShotPodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz_underscore_underscore, or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT. Or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Allie Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at @DreamsToBecome, or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.